You're listening to the Holistic Spaces podcast brought to you by Mindful Design Feng Shui School, episode 295, Most Frequently Asked Feng Shui Questions. Welcome to episode 295 of the Holistic Spaces podcast, where we hope to inspire, educate, and empower you to create your own holistic spaces that nurture and resonate with you. Angie Cho and Laura Morris are the founders of the Mindful Design Feng Shui School and authors of Mindful Living, a guide to the everyday magic of feng shui. We teach feng shui online at mindfuldesignschool.com. Sign up for our mailing list for special free content, workshops, and events available only to our newsletter subscribers. And right now we actually have a giveaway going on in honor of our new book, Mindful Living, a guide to the everyday magic of feng shui. And so we are having a giveaway for a Mindful Living bundle, which includes a free mini home consultation with me and Laura that will be aired on the Holistic Spaces podcast. So you'll be a guest on the podcast and we'll do a mini consult on your home. And that's rare because Laura and I never really do home consultations, home feng shui readings together. You also get a tarot card reading with Laura, and then you get a bundle of our signed books. So you'll get a copy of Mindful Living by me and Laura, Creating Change by Laura Morris, and Mindful Homes by Angie Cho. So you'll get all of those things by submitting a review on Apple Podcasts for this podcast that you're listening to. And you have to also be signed up for our newsletter list. So you go to mindfuldesignschool.com/join if you're not already on our list. And we have information on there on our newsletter, how to enter the giveaway. So you want to upload a screenshot of the review and enter your information and so forth. And so this giveaway is going to end or close at the end of September, and then we'll announce our winner in October. If you also don't want to enter the giveaway, it would be super cool if you just left a review for our book or for our podcast, because if you're a listener, things like this really, really help that you follow our podcast and let people know, because these little reviews really matter. It helps us an awful lot. And we really appreciate it. Hey, just a PS. We wanted to let you know, we just added a free Feng Shui for Interior Designers workshop in the beginning of October. To get the invitation for that, as well as a Zoom link and all the details, be sure to sign up for our mailing list. To sign up, go to mindfuldesignschool.com/join. We hope to see you there. So this week, we're talking about the most frequently asked feng shui questions. So we get a lot of feng shui questions because Laura and I have been doing this for a long time. And there's some that we get very often, and there's a whole lot that we get often that are not included today, but we'll go over a few popular ones. Maybe we'll have a part two.
The first question, and I would say these are not necessarily in order of frequency. We just kind of put them together. But I would say one question that we often get, which is a fairly obvious one, is I'm new to feng shui, where do I start? Or something to that effect. Okay, there are people we generally, at least I know when I meet people and I'm out and about and I tell them what I do, they're like, oh my gosh, they're super interested, but they don't really know what to do and if they wanted to start really simply and they didn't know anything. So we would say that if you are new to feng shui, a good place to start practicing this modality is starting in your bedroom. And the reason is your bedroom is the space that is closest to you, that is the most intimate to you personally, that you spend the most time there. And it's where your energy is recharged. You spend a lot of passive states, resting states. And these times when you're resting is when you are most open to the energies around you, and you want to make sure that your bedroom is set up to support you. And another reason to also focus on the bedroom is because it really does represent you, and it solidifies the idea that you are going to start to work on yourself. First and foremost, you're going to focus on yourself, and then from there, you can move outward. Angie, do you want to talk about part B, about why we say the bedroom?
So one of our other most frequently asked feng shui questions is about the bedroom, because Laura and I talk about the bedroom a lot. So people ask us,
can you apply the feng shui on your bedroom? And so, yes, you can. And people ask, can I do feng shui even if I only have a bedroom to work with, or if I have a roommate situation and I'm only working on, you know, only have my bedroom space? So using the bedroom is really effective and a wonderful way to work with feng shui. Even if you have a whole palatial home, it's really important to look at yourself, which is what the bedroom represents. So you can also really begin to learn more about feng shui by actually learning to place the bagua on your bedroom. The bagua is the feng shui mandala, and it is usually really simple to start there because bedrooms are typically more rectangular in size, whereas a whole home might be more irregular. So it's a really great place to start. And it's also a great place to start because your bedroom represents you. You spend so much time there, and the time that you spend there is personal time, it's private time. You know, just so you know, FYI, the Bagua Mandala, it's the feng shui energy map. It's the mandala that we use in feng shui. It's one of the tools. It can be applied to any single room. It can be applied to your desk. It can be applied to your office, to your whole house. And so basically, when you apply the Bagua to your bedroom, you would divide up your bedroom into a tic-tac-toe grid, basically a 3x3 grid. So it gives you 8 areas around a center. You could download our Bagua e-kit and print out a Bagua, and you would have it in front of you. And then you could stand in the doorway of your bedroom looking into the room. Then you would basically be aligning the bottom of the Bagua mandala with the entry wall of your bedroom. And then you divide the room into a 3x3 grid. So for instance, if you're standing in the door of the bedroom, the far left corner is the wealth area and the far right corner is a relationship area. And then you can start to activate or explore or work with some of these areas of your life that relate to the Bagua mandala areas by noticing what's happening in that space in your bedroom, as well as making a simple addition or adjustment, like adding a plant or adding a crystal or even decluttering.
Another question we get often is, again, dealing in the bedroom, is what direction should my head be facing in bed? And the reason for this question, it comes up a lot, is because often people start to research or read about feng shui online, and there are many different approaches and schools of feng shui. And it depends on which school of feng shui you're using to answer this question. In some schools of feng shui, they use the cardinal directions to decide that. In BTB or Black Sect feng shui, which is what Angie and I practice and which we teach in our school, your bed is best placed in what we refer to as the commanding position. And the commanding position is focused on the principle of following the qi, or being able to greet the qi, where addressing the qi from where it's coming in, okay? Because it's coming in from the main door or opening into a space. And so for a bedroom, it would be coming in the door, the bedroom door. And the principle behind the commanding position is that when you set yourself up where you are able to lie in bed and see this main entryway into your bedroom, you will be able to clearly see opportunities. You'll be able to sleep more restfully. You'll feel more, you know, safer, more relaxed, and more in control. And so instead of just sort of figuring out, oh, which direction should my head point in, we think of it a little bit more broadly and think of it, okay, when you're lying in bed, when you're trying to rest, how can you see what's coming towards you? Do you feel in control of your situations or your life? And then you're able to rest and you know, and be at peace. Now, there are a few little rules around this. So yes, you want to be able to see the door of your bedroom, but you also don't necessarily want to be directly in line with that door, especially if you have a smaller space, a smaller bedroom. So if you have a bigger bedroom and you can offset it from the door and you're further away, you know, not in directly in line with the door, great. But if you have a small bedroom, then you just want to make sure that you avoid that, what is often called, or sometimes called to referred to as the coffin position. Your feet are sort of pointing at that doorway, right? Straight out the door to your bedroom. And another thing to think about is if it is not possible for you to move your bed into the commanding position for whatever reason, you know, there's so many reasons, just, you know, the structure or the layout of your bedroom doesn't allow it, then you can place a mirror somewhere that works so that when that mirror is placed, you're able to arrange it so that you can see the door when you're in bed. Okay, so you use it as a way to almost energetically or reflect or move the door, you know, so it's like, oh, there's the door again, it's over here, and now I can see it. And we'd say that choose a mirror that is easy to move around so that you can get it in the right position. So yes, it could be a one of those standing floor length kind of ones that's like a piece of furniture that you could move around. It can also be a fairly small wall mirror that as long as it captures the image and you can see it, but just make sure it's flexible and it can be moved around.
So another question that we receive very often is, which front door do I use to apply the Bagua? So when you work with the Feng Shui Mandala, which is called the Bagua, in BTB Feng Shui, because it, like Laura mentioned, there are dozens of schools of Feng Shui. I like to say that there's dozens of schools of Feng Shui, just like there's dozens of bread recipes or chocolate chip cookie recipes, and they're all different and slightly the same, but they have the same key ingredients and one isn't better than the other. So BTB Feng Shui is the school of Feng Shui, the lineage that we teach and that we practice. And in our lineage, we always use the formal front door. So if you're using the Feng Shui Mandala on your home, your overall home, you would always place it according to the formal front door, even though you may use the garage door or the side door all the time. So if you're using the Feng Shui Bagua Mandala, you always use the formal front door. And that's okay if you use a garage or side door. We're not saying that it's bad. We're just saying that that's how you lay the Bagua. And if you're laying the Bagua on a room, for instance, like we talked about the bedroom, you would use the primary formal door to the bedroom. So in that case, it would be the primary main door of the bedroom. Sometimes there's additional doors. So you would use a door that has the most energy or the one that's used the most, that's a primary door. This also applies if there are two formal front door areas. So in Feng Shui, we call the front door the mouth of qi. So it's very important to determine which one is the door that you use to lay the Bagua Mandala. And if you have a complicated home, then that's where you may need someone to help you, like one of our feng shui consultants. We have so many graduates that can help you figure it out. But in general, for most people, by telling you if you use the formal front door, that's where you would place the Bagua. And that's the door you would use because that's how and where the energy enters the home.
Another question we get quite often is, what if there is a toilet in my wealth area? So at this point, you may have learned a little bit more about feng shui, like laying the Bagua. And when you lay the Bagua on your home, you may have discovered that the area of the Bagua that is connected with wealth, money, and abundance has a toilet in it. And you probably have come across some things in the internet or reading, and you have a sense that this is going to be bad for you. So ideally, it's not great to have a toilet in the wealth area. But again, bathrooms and toilets have to go somewhere, and you don't really have an option to move it, well, very, very rarely. So we look to solutions and to ways to adjust and correct it with feng shui. And that is the beauty of this practice, that we have a lot of flexibility, that we have a lot of ways that we can correct and adjust this particular situation. Because when you have a toilet in your wealth area, it may indicate that your finances are depleting, right? Because there's a lot of water that is flowing away from the home, down the drains. You know, it's got that, you know, the toilet has that strong suction, and water is connected with resources. So there is this sense of the resources could be money, could be energy, are being pulled away from the home. So one simple way to mitigate this, to correct it, to soften this drain is to use a plant in a pot, because that plant in a pot represents two things. One, it represents a particular element that actually is associated with this area, which is wood. So it solidifies that. You've got that growth in that area, in the wealth area. And also it has the soil and the plant itself, which to survive, that wood sheet needs to drink water. Okay. So it balances out the amount of water that's there. And when you think about a plant growing upward, and the wood chi is really an upward moving energy. So it lifts the chi and it shifts it from this sort of downward draining to an upward lifting, raising the chi energy, which is what you want to do in that area of the Bagua.
And last but not least, because there's always more frequently asked feng shui questions, maybe we should do a part B, right, Laura? The last one we'll talk about in this episode is, can I have a mirror in my bedroom? So there are dozens of schools of feng shui that recommend against using a mirror facing the bed. And that comes from the idea that a mirror is water chi and therefore causes a lot of movement and can disrupt your sleep. And also, while you're sleeping, your spirit may leave your body and your spirit may get confused when you're sleeping, whether it can return to your body or not, or to the figure in the reflection. So there's many different mythologies and folklore regarding mirrors and bedrooms in many different cultures. You know, we want to acknowledge all that, and we don't want to disregard any other school, because all the schools are correct. And you may even have a personal connection to like your cultural heritage that has some kind of way of looking at mirrors in the bedroom or mirrors in your home. And you should absolutely honor what feels right to you in your heart. But in general, in the BTB school, it's perfectly acceptable and sometimes recommended to have a mirror in the bedroom. For instance, if your bed is not in the commanding position that Laura and I talked about, you can place one to correct the bed location. We do also add to that is that if you have a lot of fear or anxiety about placing a mirror in a bedroom, we're not here to change your mind about it. We want you to honor your own heart on this. And also, if someone is very sensitive and has trouble sleeping or feel uncomfortable with the mirror facing you, definitely honor that as well. And, you know, finally, there's actually an episode that we did with our mentor, Catherine Metz, where she told us that our root teacher, Professor Lin Yun, had actually recommended to people in some cases to actually put a mirror facing the bed to inspire you to really look at yourself. And then we had a really kind note from a listener that she and I shared it on a podcast, but she let us know that like it really transformed her life to do this practice. So that said, it really depends on what you need. We're not working with you one-on-one here. We're talking, Laura and I are talking into a Zoom screen at each other, right? So if we worked with you one-on-one, or if you work with a consultant one-on-one, we could help you hash it out. But I think that even if you did have someone to hash it out with, I think if this triggers you, like the idea of a mirror in a bedroom, you know, honor that, explore it, and see what wisdom you can glean from it, whether you decide to do it or not, or you love it or you don't, and allow yourself to let that wisdom arise in your own heart. And I think that might be the answer to most of the frequently asked feng shui questions in general, right, Laura?
Yeah, I think so. Yes, I mean, it's important to learn the principles, but at the end of the day, you should use your own discernment and really see what's comfortable for you and explore it.
Okay, so thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Holistic Spaces podcast. You can tune in every week for a new episode. If you like our podcast and this episode, please share it with others, subscribe. You can leave a review. You can always support the podcast by checking out our mini courses and certification at mindfuldesignschool.com. We have different mini courses up all the time, different free ones. Right now we have a free one about your feng shui color profiles. So check it out. And we also have a lot coming up now that we're gearing towards fall. So we hope you'll check out our website, mindfuldesignschool.com. Check us out on Instagram at mindfuldesignschool. And join our newsletter list, which is mindfuldesignschool.com/join, or you can click in the show notes. Thanks and have a great week.